It's a pleasure for me to again come back to talk in the CBMC Monday meeting. This morning, let me straight away jump into what is prompting me to come with this topic: five big excuses we need to avoid. It's a very interesting point which I noticed here. And this morning, even as we start our own work, our business, our as we look at what's the next thing for us this 2024, there are many things which come to our mind. Lots of things are changing, and even in whatever business area we are, unless we are updated, unless we are upgraded, unless we look at fresh perspectives, we see this, we see that it's going to be very challenging. So all these pressures are on us. At the same time, we also need to see what are the big steps we need to do and we should not be doing. Now, as I'm speaking to you all, please keep in mind, I'm also speaking to myself. I'm not preaching here. I would like to just share these thoughts which come as an encouragement to me. And then what I would like to do is maybe open it up for a few question answers where we can interact, where you have a thought, you can share, and we can go from there. So the topic is five big excuses we need to avoid. And I'm taking this from Exodus, a very interesting whole chapter in the Bible, where we see Moses as a great leader. But then, before Moses becomes a very influential leader, he had to look at these five excuses which he actually used. But still, we find God so kind enough to kind of see and lead him in a way where he led the whole nation of Israel. So my first thing which comes to my mind is, as we look at these 5 points, I think we all need to maximize our calling. What do I mean by maximizing the calling? I just started a recent YouTube page called Let's Talk Influence. And in that YouTube, I explain about what is influence. Everybody thinks influence is whom we know, whom we don't know. Influence is power, influence is money, influence is contacts. But I strongly believe influence is the calling which you and I have. If you're good at something, now that is your influence. And I strongly believe that people who have joined us this morning, God has given us each with each gift. And even as we can master that gift, it could be business, it could be trading, it could be buying and selling, it could be anything. It could be even speaking, it could be writing blogs, but we need to maximize our calling. And when we maximize our calling, we find that God is using us far beyond our imagination. So that's my first broader outline which I would like to speak. Now, coming to the five big excuses we need to avoid. The first question which Moses asked God is, and God was giving him an assignment. The first question he looked at God and said, "Lord, who am I?" This is a question which we all go through, when we want to push through, when we want to look at new things. The first thing which comes to our mind is, "Lord, am I really worthy? Who am I? What is my identity? Will it happen?" And there are so many questions which come to our mind. So the first question which Moses is asking is, "Who am I?" And though he came from the palace 40 years again, wilderness, but then this question comes to him as, "Who am I?" It's a very interesting question. And look at the way he puts it in Exodus 3:11. This is a very interesting chapter, which I would encourage you all to read after this session, probably today evening when you come back after work. Exodus chapter 3, read the whole chapter of 3 and 4. We know this chapter, but there's just these points coming up, with Moses asking the first question, "Who am I?" And Moses looks at God and said, "Who am I that I should go, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now, this is exactly where we are today. God is telling us that, I've kept something more bigger for each one of us. I have something much more bigger. But then the question which we ask or we pull back is, "Lord, who am I, or what is my identity?" And look at the way God responds to Moses. He said, "I will certainly be with you." There's a conversation happening. And even this morning, it's a conversation. That's the reason why I wanted a few questions after the interaction. Every time you and I think, every time we think that, you know, Lord, can I do it? There's a big challenge in front of me. I need to take a business call. Will this happen? You know, we need to understand that, you know, God is there in all our situation, but also the assurance that he is there in this decision. So God is giving him a huge assignment. And look at how Moses is responding. Yes, he was a great leader, but look at the questions which Moses went through, the same questions which you and I probably will go through. And God is saying, I will be with you. This morning, even as in my own life, you know, yes, with all the work we do, we are on a threshold where we need to get into something much more bigger than what we are doing. Where will the finance come from? Who will help us? Will it happen? What if it fails? These are very genuine questions. But then Moses asked these genuine questions, like you probably are asking, or I, you know, probably I am asking. But God is telling Moses that I will certainly be with you. So this is God's response to us this morning. Who am I? The identity we have is in Christ. And though situations around us doesn't look conducive, but then God is saying, amidst all that, you know, I am with you. Imagine at that time, Pharaoh was the most powerful, you know, government in that season. And from nowhere, God is raising Moses to say, you know, I want you to go and lead. And these are questions which not just Moses, probably anybody would have been there, would have asked. And then God's response is, you know what? I've called you. I will be with you. This is another story which I always share, you know, when my father first said in, you know, that we're going to start a station in Telugu, the questions I asked is, do I know Telugu? Do we know, we don't have contacts. We don't have the money. We don't have this. You know, I put a large list, but you won't believe, I enjoy looking at this photo for the simple reason, which just reminds me that God is with us. Right in the chief minister's house, we had the inauguration of our Telugu station. But imagine if probably my father or we had to pull back and say, you know what, we don't know the language, we don't know the land, we don't know the area. How will we go to Hyderabad and do all that? Where would all this, you know, how would we run? I don't think we would have started. So this morning, I'm just saying, the moment we pull back, you know, we need to go back and look at God's assurance to us to say, you know, to just look at this chapter where God is assuring Moses and saying, I am with you. So this is another example to remind myself, if I was with you in the past, I will be with you in the future. The second thing which I would like to share with you is Moses is asking God, like, okay, fine, I understand my identity, but I need to know you. You know, this is another question of how intimate do we know God, or how intimate we understand the Holy Spirit. Here we find Moses asking another question. You know, he reverses the whole thing. He said, okay, fine, I know you, understood. I know, I understand that I am who I am, but Lord, who are you and how do I explain your name to the people? Now, this is another question which comes to our mind and said, Lord, yes, you promised us, but then how do I take the next step and how do people respond? How do people know that, Lord, you are there with me in this project? What's his name? What shall I say to them? He's reversing the whole thing and saying, Lord, what will I tell my partners? What will I tell my people? What will I tell people who are depending on me? What will I tell my staff? You know, this is a question which probably, you know, we go through. Sometimes I go through, you know. And again, I look back at the word and said, Lord, if I'm walking with you, if I'm talking with you, if I know that, Lord, you're with me, then look at the way God answers. In Exodus 3:14, and God says, I am who I am. See, God is not, you know, altering his stand for us. We may alter, but he doesn't alter. You know, once he gives a word, once it's a covenant, period. Once he gives a gift to you, he doesn't take back the gift. God is not is a person who gives, you know, he gives and he doesn't take back. But again, God is there asking account of how we handled our gift. So here was Moses, and God was very clear with him. He said, listen, this is what you are, and this is what I am. You know, he has a very clear stand of understanding who God is. He says, I am who I am. And I like the statement he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And even till date, he has not changed his covenant. We have altered it, meaning people have altered it. People have understood it, misunderstood it, but then he has not altered it. So therefore, it's very clear, even as we take calls, to understand who he is. He is not somebody who will talk to us today, change something, and tomorrow change. He's very clear. All what he has said is in the covenant, and he has kept, the contract for us. It's not even a contract, sorry. It's a covenant. There's a difference between them. The other day, I was just understanding what is a contract and what is a covenant. A covenant can't be changed. Contracts can be changed. So he was telling Moses, listen, there's a covenant I've made with the forefathers, and this is the promise I made. And now is the time for you to act. So this morning, even as we are in the middle of so many decisions, God is speaking to you and me and saying, there's a covenant I made with you. There's a covenant I've done with you. I will not alter. This is how I work. This is my name, and I don't change. So that's another assurance which is coming to us this morning as we hear this voice in the CBMC meeting. The third thing is which Moses is asking. Now look at the questions which Moses is asking. Lord, I understand where I'm calling, where I have called for. I understand your covenant. But Lord, what if they don't listen? What if the investors don't listen? What if, my people don't understand me? What if my family itself don't listen? It's another question which, Moses is throwing at God himself. Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me. Look at the questions. These are all very genuine questions which anyone can go through. But what is interesting to me is not the question which Moses is asking, but the response which God is telling back to Moses. Now, that to me is very interesting. God's response is, you can again find that between Exodus 4 verses 2 to 9. You'll see that whole response. But my simple one line is, when we walk with God, people around us will know. Just last week, 2 weeks, 2 weeks back, I was in a meeting where we had about 70 people who came for training, in influence. It was a one-day training called Influence and Growth. And people who came understood that, these guys who are talking in the conference knew what they were speaking. So when we walk with God and when we talk and when we move ahead in our sphere of influence, people around us will know that God is with us. Now, this is not something where we need to be telling people, but as we walk and talk with God, people will come to know that. And God's response is very clear, but suppose if they will not believe me, then God shows signs, he shows signs to Moses, and we all know about those signs. I'm not getting into that. So God will show signs to show that, God is with us. One of the things which I've understood in my own life is, in every step we have taken, we have seen God move. We have seen how God has taken us from minus to where it is in Hyderabad and in Chennai. And when people look at us now, they say, hey, there's something with these guys. We know their beginning. We know them, how they grew. We know them now. And we know that God is with these guys. So I think that subtle message will indirectly come. And that's what, but all that depends on how we walk with God. We may fumble, but still we need to get back and say, Lord, you understand us. You understand me, Lord. Enable me to walk with you closer. I think that's the point which I see in this whole conversation. The next big thing which we see is, I've never been a good speaker. This is another area of influence, sometimes we don't understand the gift which God has given to us. Many people tell me, what if it doesn't happen? This is a classic example of Moses, a great leader, but look at the doubt he had. He looks at God and says, I've never been a good speaker. When opportunities come to us to lead, when opportunities come to us to go forward, there's a slight doubt which comes to us and says, what if it fails? Am I good at this? What if it doesn't happen? These are questions which Moses had. And here God is asking him to be his spokesperson And he says, I've never been a good speaker. This morning, God is asking each one to be a spokesperson for him. The question is, will we be a spokesperson? We may not lead like Moses, but even in the area of influence we are in the business we are in, maybe you're in an area, an office where you're doing a project or a work, but can you be a spokesperson? Can you just be the best at what you're doing? And Moses was saying, I've never been a good speaker. But look at how God responds to this point. The Moses in Exodus 4:10 said, oh Lord, I'm never, you know, how do I, you know, I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow in speech. He gives all these classic examples, you know. And please understand, he's talking to God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And here is Moses giving these things. And even as I read this, I looked at my own life and said, how many times have I said that? I've been in this situation. You know, will it happen? Can I, how do I go and, you know, speak? How do I go and minister? And then here, look at the way God responds. God's response is, who has made man's mouth? You know, this is the Almighty God talking very clearly and saying, listen, you know, I made you, I created you. I remember, I think it was 2 years back, I was in NRB. NRB is National Religious Broadcasters. I was speaking in a conference. This conference, about 5,000 people come in the US, and they brought me in stage. And to my right was a professor in some media studies. To my left was another very highly theological person. And in between, I'm there, and there's a moderator asking questions, and I was going completely blank. I was on stage, completely blank as to looking at my right and left. And then there was a question which came to me, and I said, "I for a minute, till I was sitting on the stage, I didn't know what to speak. But then I said, Lord, I just surrendered everything to you. I need your Holy Spirit's guidance. And the moment they asked me a question, I told them a story of how God led us from A, point A to point B. I did that in 3 minutes. And, you know, it was a classic example of how God showed up and explained how God is so faithful. And the entire audience, you know, were in claps. Now, I remember the claps, and I remembered that I was completely blank even before. The point I'm trying to tell you is, whenever we go blank, whenever we need to take a decision, the best thing is, you know, to just step back and say, Lord, I'm now, I need your Holy Spirit. I need you, Lord. And you'll find God showing up in a very different way. I've seen that time and time and again. So this morning, if you are in a point of decision, the best place to be is in the secret place. The secret place is to allow the Holy Spirit. And here God's response is, you know, who has made man's mouth? In other words, who has made all this? I will teach you what to say. What an amazing assurance to say, I will teach you what to say. Perfect place to be. Now, the nature of the Holy Spirit, this is something which I'm understanding it. I'm reading about it. And I'm depending on the Holy Spirit every day as I go on. For the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say and what not to say. This is an amazing, you know, gift which God has given to each one of us this morning. Anytime we are stuck, we can just step back and say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit to decide for me. And I've seen time and time and again how God has, you know, used the Holy Spirit to kind of take over. And when this takeover happens, you will find in every decision, it will be an amazing, amazing level to see you moving from point A to point B. Now, I know you can find someone else. This is another excuse. Lord, are you sure it's me? Maybe it's someone else. Again, Moses puts this question. Look at the way he puts it up across to the Lord in Exodus 4:13. He said, oh my Lord, please send someone else. With all this, again, you know, this is another excuse which we always make. Maybe it's not me. Maybe it's someone else. Look at the way God responds. God is so patient. He says, I need you. Okay, just because you're saying this, maybe I'll let Aaron go with you. Now, this is another classic example of situations where we say, Lord, maybe it's not me. Maybe this is a huge project. Maybe it's not me. But again, God is saying, you know what, I will send the helper. Of course, Aaron came as an helper, But God is so patient to Moses to say, listen, I need to help my people and I need you. You know, God could have just removed Moses out of the scene, but then God had his plan so clear. This morning, God has a plan for you, plan for me. And he's very clear. His covenants are very, very clear. The question is, do we understand it? This is a very interesting chapter in Mark 9:24, and then I'll close with this. I'll open it up for questions as we have just a few minutes more. A situation where the father is stuck with, there's a father who wants to bring his son for healing, and the father takes the son to the disciples, but the disciples can't heal the boy. The boy has so much problems, and I know he just falls down, foam coming out of his mouth, and he wants help. But then look at the statement, and then he finds Jesus. You can go back and again read Mark chapter 9. Very interesting chapter. He looks at Jesus and he says, Lord, help me. And Jesus says, if you believe, it can happen. And then immediately the father of the child cried out and said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. A very frank, answer. Jesus didn't condemn the father. He didn't say, either do you believe or not believe. Yeah, this guy actually says, the father actually says, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus took him by the hand. Took him by the hand means took the boy's hand and he healed him. A very interesting point here. Sometimes God is telling us, and we also say we believe. But then I understand the father's prayer was, Lord, help my unbelief. A very interesting point. Even in that situation, Jesus looks at you and me and says, I understand your unbelief. I will hold you. I will guide you. He's not there to condemn us. He's there to hold us and guide us. This morning, maybe we have that doubt. And this morning, even as I prayed for this morning's meeting, God is telling you and me, I'm there. I will hold you. So the five big excuses. First is, who am I? Second, it's we asking God, Lord, who are you? How do I know you? Third is, what if they don't listen? Lord, what if, nobody believes me? Nobody believes my vision, or nobody believes in what I'm doing. How do I push this? The fourth is, I've never been a good speaker, or I've never been good at this. And Lord, you're asking me to be, you're asking me to go forward. I've never been, so good at this. This is where the spirit of excellence comes. If God has given you a gift, we need to master it. And then we give another excuse, which we say, Lord, maybe there's somebody, not me. And God is telling, no, it's not somebody, it's you. So these are the five things which I find very, very interesting. I picked it up from this chapter. And I found this very, very intriguing for my own life. I'm using it every day. And I want to make sure that I don't fall in these five excuses. And I don't miss God's rich blessings which he has kept for us. He wants us to succeed and he wants us to move forward. So I'm pausing here, and then I can open it up for questions. Just to make it easy for you guys, I'm putting these 5 points, and let's open it up for questions. You can put it on the chat if you want, or any questions so far? We have a few more minutes.
If you cannot ask with your mouth, you can just type it in the chat box as well.
Ashwin Anna, good morning.
Bernard, good morning.
Bernard Chef here.
Yes, Bernard.
See, that assurance from the Lord through the promises, definitely yes. That's a holding point. And whenever we face a lot of challenges. But the other challenge is, yes, I hold on to that, but the many things didn't happen in the way how we desire in the past. So that failure is haunting again and again, and sometimes it becomes a panic attack. Yes, God may not act despite all the promises what he has given. I think that is something which definitely a challenge for all the entrepreneurs. So how is there a situation how you are able to overcome the past failures and then still hold on to the promises and march forward boldly?
Okay. Oh, that's a very good question, Bernard, and it's a very practical life question. There are many times, we have gone through failure. Failure in the sense we have done something and we know it's the right thing, but we didn't find result. But what I've understood with failures is, I won't say every time it has happened, we have learned that to be a stepping stone to the next level. Every time somebody says and comes to us and says, Ashwin, like I remember I told you about the fire accident we had in the office. We didn't have the money to move forward. We didn't have anything. But then it was a very clear call for us to say we are moving. And there have been situations where we just felt that, how do we expand? We need this much money. We need this much plan. But every time we have stepped back and gone back to God's presence to say, Lord, help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. And it's not overnight success. Every failure will, has taught us to move forward. And it has taught us to see how we can step into it and move up. So there's something which we have learned through all this, Bernard. It's not that, we did this, we have lost. No. Even in that loss, there's a learning. Even in that, when we go to I'll tell you another example. I went to an investor, assured us something. We got the contract signed. But then there was no peace of mind for us. It was not the investor going back. There was no peace of mind for me. So what did I do? I had to actually come back to the investor and say, I'm not having peace of mind. So the peace of mind is very clear. Sometimes investors could come, or maybe you may look at something it may look something attractive. But then God will again put something in your heart and say, this is not the deal I have for you. I have something more better. So not all failures are failures. Sometimes failures can come in different modes. But then I would say every failure has got a huge learning. And as long as we have the mindset to say, Lord, I'm willing to learn. I want your guidance. You please teach us. The key for you and me, Bernard, is the peace of mind. If it is God's word, you will have the peace of mind. Even in Moses, this whole chapter, if you read next, what does Moses go? He goes to his father-in-law after this chapter and he says, I want to go to my people. I want to go to my people. And then you find the father-in-law blessing and sending Moses away. Now, there was no resistance. Now, that is what I call peace of mind. So how do you know God's peace of mind works? When you go through challenges, you step back and then you say, Lord, I don't know whether I'm doing the right thing or not, but I need your peace of mind. And then God will assure you. And that's how you take your next step. So this, technically speaking, it's not failure. It's how you learn. Yes, it's failure from one standpoint, but it's how you learn from it and how you progress from it, which will take you forward.
Thank you, Anna.
Samson, any other question?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know whether we have time.
We can take one more question. Last question.
One more question. I don't know whether I've answered that, Samson, Bernard, but that's my response.
Definitely, Anna. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Fine.
You can close with prayer.
I'll close with prayer. Lord, we want to thank you, Father, for this morning. Lord, everyone here has a gift and a calling. And Lord, we can give any number of excuses, Lord Jesus. But Lord, your promises are a covenant. And Lord, we want to hold this covenant to our lives in this week, in this year ahead, as we move forward. Right, for our families, for our business, for our own personal decisions. Lord, we want you to decide for us. Help us, Lord, to maximize our calling. Help us, Lord, not to make these five excuses every time you're giving us an opportunity. Help us to move forward and help us to have the assurance that you are with us. Bless this group every Monday as they meet. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would intervene. Take this group, take everyone who's listening to this walk, to this Zoom, to another new dimension where they will be used by you effectively and they will see the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.